Merry Christmas, podcasters, listeners.
Hello, you fucking maggots. There it is.
I've got a ginger monkey in the pod.
It's your favourite depressed ginger.
Oh, he's here.
Me. You know what he's got.
Oh,
that was fizzy.
Can of the white stuff. Oh God, mummy.
Bit of ASMR for everyone.
Anything to keep it going. Keep us going on this podcast.
It got all in my beard.
Big one. Straight into it. Game of the Year awards. The actual Game of the Year awards, not the joystick ones. This is the real Game of the Year awards. Mm-hmm. Have you seen much on it?
Not at all. I've only seen the joystick ones that Claire Obscura got.
Well, that's fantastic. Shit tons of them. Because allow me to go through the categories.
Oh.
So, Game of the Year, the winner of that, Claire Obscura Expedition 33. Expected and earned. Best Game Direction, Claire Obscura Expedition 33.
Of course.
Best Narrative, Claire Obscura Expedition 33.
Is it going to be across the board, is it?
Best Art Direction, Claire Obscura Expedition 33. We've then got Best Performance is Jennifer English in Claire Obscura Expedition 33.
Wasn't that the...
Best Independent Game, Claire Obscura Expedition 33. Best Debut Indie Game, Claire Obscura Expedition 33.
Say, that Jennifer English has done well for herself because she was in Baldur's Gate as Shadow Heart.
So. Can you guess what the best RPG was?
Claire Obscura?
It was. It was Claire Obscura Expedition 33.
Let me take a guess.
Yeah, that was so they won the majority of stuff. We've then got, let's have a look.
Is there anything else left?
There is. Best Score and Music.
Okay.
Oh no, sorry, that's Claire Obscura Expedition.
Not Claire Obscura,
sorry, I missed that one out. Best Audio Designs, Battlefield 6. Which is quite cool.
Okay.
I actually, when me and Ash went through and picked our choices, I actually picked Battlefield 6 for sound design, because when you play it with a headset on, it's just so crisp.
Surround sound effect, yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice. Innovation in accessibility, Doom, The Dark Ages.
Yes, I can understand that one.
Games for Impact, South of Midnight won that.
Okay.
Best ongoing game, which I'm happy about, is No Man's Sky.
Still.
Still. And that went up against Final Fantasy, what's XIV?
XIV, 14.
14. Fortnite, Helldivers 2 and Marvel Rivals. So I feel like out of that bunch, No Man's Sky.
When did Claire Obscura come out? It was quite middle of the year. I know that, but like in terms of month.
Claire Obscura. So it came out in
April, late April. Okay.
Yeah, it's a decent one.
Because I think sometimes games, if they're out longer, have got the benefit of the fact that they're much loved through the year versus a game that comes out now and you go, right, well, you've got bad competition.
I think the thing with, because people threw that argument out there and said exactly that. It came out earlier on, so it's going to be more popular. I do genuinely believe
game of the Year's Shadow of the Erdtree again.
Yeah. The thing is that I believe
it
that
come out this year.
The awards that Claire Obscura has won, it wholeheartedly deserves. Have you played it?
Mm-mm.
You would love it.
I
know you.
I'm a little bit on the fence with it because I know I probably would enjoy it, but I feel like I probably would get tired of it quick, if that makes sense.
I don't think you would. I don't.
Fuck it, French though.
I don't think you would. I really don't, because the story is incredible and the combat is so satisfying, but the builds that you can create are so crazy. So you're not stuck.
It's turn based, isn't it?
It is. It's all turn based. Mm. The whole thing is turn based. But I'm a man that doesn't like that type of game, or at least I didn't think that I would. And yeah, incredible game. Like I say, the story is just so fucking good, so good. And the exploration and all the, it's mental. All the little mini side games and quirks.
Don't give me another big game. I can't handle it.
It's so fucking worth it.
I've got so many.
It's so worth it. If you haven't played it, I really, really, really recommend it. It's one of those types of games where I feel like in 10 years' time, you'll mention Claire Obscura Expedition 33 to someone if they're new to gaming or they haven't heard it, or and they'll go, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds weird. And you'll sit there and you go, oh boy. Much like if you go to someone that's never played a Souls-like and you go, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne. And people go, oh, what's the hype about them? It's probably how I feel with maybe like the Silent Hill franchise.
Do not cite
the I've never played magic it. Or, to me. Or like Witch. Crysis.
Fucking Crysis, man.
Yeah. I've never played it. I haven't played it.
That's a throwback.
But I know that it's meant to be incredible. Mm. But I haven't touched it. So
I played a little bit of Crysis 3, but Crysis was a computer / console breaker back in the day.
It's one of them. Clair Obscur is one of those niche games that isn't niche at the same time, but it is, because it is so fucking niche. Like it's a really different type of game that I'm used to playing.
I bet it's really expensive on Tengi.
And it's so fucking good. So good.
Where is it? Where is Steam on my phone?
Oh, well, you want to fucking see how much it's going to set you back.
It's probably fairly pricey at the minute, I imagine.
Probably. There'll be a Game of the Year edition and blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. I'm happy at the fact that it's an indie game as well. I'm even more happy that the development team are ex-Ubisoft employees.
Yeah, that's better.
I love that. Ex-Ubisoft, and they've just gone and absolutely wiped the floor.
I just pulled up Steam now and they've got the Game Awards there, and it's annoying because scrolling down you go, the 2025 winner is obviously Battlefield 6. Guess what is the second game on the list? I don't know what the nominations aspect of this is, but it's obviously
what?
Steam's kind of version of it.
Yeah.
The second game to come up on is Last of Us Part 2 Remaster.
Of course it is. Of course it fucking is. Of course it is.
Yeah, I don't really know what the criteria for them is.
Clair Obscur is £33.59 at the moment.
That's not actually offensive.
Reduced from 41. Yeah, because it wasn't a full price.
A full super release.
Yeah, because it almost couldn't be.
There we go. It was pretty much a straight away.
It almost couldn't be because you're a small, very, very small indie developer.
Sandfall Interactive.
That's creating a game, like Temple I say,
Interactive.
Isn't the typical...
There you go. 97 out. Well, overwhelmingly positive, 97%.
Yeah.
That's 80,000 reviews. Nearly 82,000 reviews.
Yeah. 25,000 overwhelmingly positive recent reviews. Here we go. Clair Obscur feels like one of those games that shouldn't exist but somehow does because a bunch of passionate weirdos decided, yeah, why not? The dev story alone is wild. A French dude who speedruns Sekiro gets tired of his job at Ubisoft and just quits to make his dream game. He calls his old university buddy, who ends up becoming the lead tech. He finds a musician on SoundCloud who makes the entire OST. He finds a girl on Reddit who agrees to voice the demo for free, and she eventually becomes the lead writer. They then hire like 30 fresh grads who are all in over their heads, but clearly giving it everything they've got. And member number 33, a dog, literally credited as the happiness manager in the end credits. And the crazy part is the game actually turned out great, stylish, unique, full of heart, exactly the kind of thing you get when people make something because they want to, not because some exec told them to. Clair Obscur is a win for gamers and a big, beautiful middle finger to AAA companies that fill their games with garbage and microtransactions. I stand by every single word in that review, and they've got 60 hours on record.
Mm-hmm.
So they're within their right to say that sort of stuff. That it's there seems to be a running, everyone likes a David and Goliath
hours,
story,
30 hours.
And everyone always goes for David.
Mm.
You always want to back the underdog. Everyone does. I do it in my own games. I do it in life. You never want to go with the fucking big teams, with the big developers.
Because no one's putting out anything good.
Well, even then, I think this year there's been some real decent stuff.
Mm.
And then if you see what's meant to be coming out next year, yeah, we've had some woeful years. The tide seems to be turning where we're actually getting some half-decent shit coming through, especially next year. There's some really cool stuff that's been announced. But there's nothing better than an indie game and indie developer absolutely fucking wiping the floor with everyone. Larian Studios did it. I know that they're a big indie company, but they're still indie. You know what I mean? And then now you've got Clair Obscur. Most of my favourite games in the last couple of years have been indie games.
Yeah.
And I love that because they deserve that. And it's
well, the last game I was playing was the indie game. I played Dispatch 3 from top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
The new generation of Telltale games. And yeah, that's technically indie, even though it's got big backing.
Mm.
But that's a very small... They were like, what was it? They sold their three-year margin in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like what this Clair Obscur is a win for gamers and a blah, 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 blah. Big middle fingers to AAA companies that fill their games. And then... Yeah, exactly the kind of thing you get when people make something because they want to, not because some exec told them to. And I've said that on the podcast multiple times, in that when you get people who make something, and this is in regards to anything, when anyone does something that they love doing, it's almost always better than someone who's being forced to do it. If you're really good at something but you don't like it and you're being forced to do it.
It's funny you say that. I look forward and see your One Ring desk lamp thing, because that's like someone said that about Lord of the Rings and said, why is that the last big major like fantastic trilogy?
Because they loved making it.
Because it was a passion project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't about anything else.
It wasn't about the money. It was they were taking risks. They were following law. Most of the games that are incredible now are games that are like that. You're in such a cluttered market that you have to come up with something unique.
Let's have another extraction shooter.
Yeah, fucking hell. Like, I understand something like Ark Raiders. Mega, mega popular. Mega popular. But it's different. It's enjoyable. Something like Call of Duty. I mean, it's almost soulless and boring. Even Battlefield 6 to a point. I haven't played Battlefield 6 for fucking...
I didn't even bother.
For a long, long time. That's nothing against the game, but I'm just...
It's the type of game I should love because it brings me back mad nostalgia to when I was a kid.
Mm.
Or not even a kid, but when I was much younger and playing like Bad Company 2 with my best mates from then. And that would be like every night, again and again, all weekend long. Whatever, whatever. And the fun we had in that. And then you come some years later and you go, yeah, I haven't touched one since like Battlefield 3. Yeah. I didn't touch the fucking future one. Didn't touch 4. Barely touched the World War 2, World War 1 one. You're just like, oh, it's
Battlefield 1.
Not really that interesting. And even now you go, oh, 6 has come out. You go, not interested.
I think it's
Not interested, but it doesn't bring back the same...
I think because we're just not in the multiplayer scene.
Yeah, it doesn't
bring
back that nostalgia anymore.
First person shooter. It's a very good game. I really do enjoy it, but chances of me playing it again are quite slim because I'm more interested in other things, but it's...
That's why I like it. I like Dispatch when I decided to play that however long ago. Not probably about a month ago. And it was the only annoying part of it was episodic, so it was X amount of episodes were out and then you had to wait a week for the next one to come out.
Yeah, but I kind of like that
but
as well.
But then that was nice because it strung it out a little.
Yeah.
But it was easy to pick up and not like...
Overwhelmingly positive with 91,500 reviews.
Excellent. So long as it's a different style of game because it's, you know, like interactive novel, but there's a mini game aspect to multiple parts of it.
Superhero workplace comedy where choices matter. Manage a dysfunctional team of misfit heroes and strategize who to send to emergencies around the city, all while balancing office politics, personal relationships, and your own quest to become a hero. All episodes out now. It looks good. It looks enjoyable. But this is what I'm saying in those little indie.
Well, they've come from, much like Clair Obscur's lots, come from Ubisoft. A lot of the people who made Dispatch ad hoc, they're old Telltale. And obviously where Telltale, I don't really know why the reason for their downfall was, but you know whether the quality of their work wasn't as good gradually because they were picking different topics. But where there was a lot of layoff, obviously they've turned around and gone, okay, well, should we make our own company then?
Yeah.
And then take... You know, if you like things like Invincible on Amazon or like if you're into the comics, that there's a similar sort of ness of that to it. And the art style is kind of similar. But again, it's another indie group that have made a fantastic game and everyone was screaming out going, oh, season two, please.
I just find it mad that it's you. So you've got small indie companies where everything's on the line for these people. Everything. Mm. They have virtually no money, majority Pretty of the much. Time, and rely on crowdfunding.
It's funny you say that because to think Larian now, after making Baldur's Gate, and their original game, Divinity series, Original Sin, and Original Sin 2, were kickstarted.
Yeah. And now number 3 has just been announced. Yeah, now. With a cool ass fucking trailer of a geezer being melted alive. Bloody and gory.
That gives us a little bit of. I thought about it as I was just watching it because I hadn't seen it while we were at work, but I saw it just now. And it gave a made me think of a throwback to the second game. There is a moment where there is an aspect that's very much like that. So they're kind of interesting to see a little bit of a tie-in, which is obviously relevant. Oh, that was good. Which is obviously relevant. And it's weird because I can't really remember what the fuck Divinity was meant to be about.
But it's obviously I've never played either of them. But it's nice to see that they're not milking the cash cow that is Baldur's Gate.
Well, that was
and going back.
The irony of it is, you know, Sven, the managing director of Larian, turned around and said their next game would be like a little palate cleanser.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's actually no. Let's bring us back to our original IP and try and make it bigger than Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. I think it'll be very, very good.
I don't want another like 4 years worth of early access.
Yeah,
as much as that will be good. Yeah, I don't know if I can handle.
Back to what I was saying in that for indie developers, it's so risky, and I've spoken about it before, where I say that almost. That almost encourages the risk taking because you go, right, well, we've got very little resources here, but we need to make something that people are going to be engaged with and want to spend money on. So therefore, we need to take the risk. We need to make something crazy.
I think if they put their heart on the line and then it works out, it's a better return than trying to play it safe and make something that's very similar to everything else.
And a lot of the times it doesn't work out, but for the few times that it does, it's usually incredible. Well, I feel
like that's the way it's been more and more recently. I know you get like fad games where you go, well, like Lethal Company, you play that for a little bit, or like Repo, or...
Among Us,
all those kind of games that have got hype for a bit. But then even then, they're standout for a little while.
They stand out long enough for the developer to get their flowers, to make the money that they wanted to make, to enable them to carry on and build a career out of it. The point I'm trying to make is, you have all these AAA,
why the fuck can't studios these big names do it?
Why can't they see that? Because it's not the developers that are the problem. I don't believe it's the developers that are the problem most of the time, because they have a passion for gaming. Making games isn't easy. There's a lot of blood, sweat and tears that goes into it and countless hours to get a game to where the games that we play are. I think it's just corporate greed, but I don't understand why corporate greed can't understand what the market wants.
Will that change, though?
I don't know.
But then there's part of me that thinks it would change because we're, not to say we're the generation, but we're in that heavy period of the old guard and the people that don't understand that kind of thing, who are the big men in money, you know, the big directors and your
man Donald Trump and all that lot, that, you know, the 70-year-olds in power, all that lot.
That, you know, the big wigs in the office that are going to be the older generation that don't understand video games but understand money.
Money.
That gradually, as we phase them out and they're replaced by people like, you know, our age,
Neil,
like
Druckmann,
a little bit older, like, you know, that they've actually got a love and a passion for making the games, that they would see it as, oh, we can be happy with not making as much money so long as we make a good product.
Yeah, which is,
i.e. fucking old Gaben from fucking Steam.
But in turn, you end up making a fucking fortune. Yeah. How much money did Baldur's Gate fucking make? Let me Google that.
Silly amounts.
How much money?
I read something the other day saying that, I forget what group it was. I don't know if it was Ubisoft. I don't know if it was EA. But they were saying that the average employee was making like $150,000. And the guy in charge of it was making 200% more than them.
Standard, of course. Fucking
And you didn't think, just cut that fucker out.
Yeah.
And then you go, right, reinvest that money in making a game fucking worthwhile.
So this isn't even the fucking... Here we go.
It isn't even the sum total of it.
No. So it says, Baldur's Gate 3 was a massive financial success, generating over $650 million in 2023 revenue from Steam alone.
Ooh.
Becoming the platform's top grossing new release, with Larian Studios supporting 427 million euros in total revenue and 249 million euros in pre-tax profit for the year. Hasbro also received around 90 million from the game's licensing deal, but this was just in
2023.
Yeah, across all platforms, because obviously you've got PlayStation, you've got Xbox, hasn't released exact total revenue. That's 2023. Blah blah blah. And roughly 15 million copies sold by late 2024, with some speculating figures might approach or cross $1 billion in total earnings across all platforms by early 2024. So I feel like you could quite comfortably say they've made over $1 billion from Baldur's Gate. So you sit there and you go, all right, okay, cool. Again, I know they're a big indie company, but they're still technically an indie company. And you go, okay, they've taken that leap, done what they've done, and you've made over $1 billion, and will continue to make money on that. So it's like, why as an exec would you sit there and go, well, why not? We need to make the risks. You look at the position that EA is in, shit.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, shit.
What was I looking at? Borders.
Even Insomniac to a point. Waff. Yeah.
That's the next interesting part. That was what I was trying to figure out. Because Baldur's Gate 3, Larian is the developer and the publisher in both parts. So that saved them a lot of faff.
Yeah, a lot of aggro.
Because it's always
Bethesda.
It's always publishers.
You've got all these big hitters where it is. Yeah,
what fucking Bethesda?
They're not doing anything.
BioWare.
Yeah.
Or to be
Treyarch,
fair,
there Infinity was the, Ward.
That latest announcement for Star Wars that you sent me earlier.
Yeah.
The lead director on it, Casey Hudson, he is he did the Mass Effect and we did the Mass Effect trilogy and he did the last Old Republic stuff. So there's some promise.
He's promising.
It could be promising.
But then, now that EA don't have the licensing.
Yeah. That, but it would just be interesting to know if it follows that same pattern where it gets hindered by bigwigs or publishers and turning around and going, oh, we've got to pump this game out, or oh, we've got to include fucking something that's going to gimp it. Not to say it'd be like microtransactions, because I don't know how you do that in a single player game, but
must be done.
But yeah, there is ways of doing that rather than just being like, here's your product, sir.
Mm.
Enjoy that.
There's also the acquisition from Netflix of Warner Brothers. And I was talking to
can't keep getting away with it.
I was talking to the WoW lot about it. So Leon, John, Connor, and sort of saying, obviously, Warner Brothers has their own gaming department, which is quite large. And Netflix,
give us the fucking Nemesis system.
Well, Netflix have said that they're not particularly interested in it as a moneymaker. So that alludes to the fact that they're willing to sell it off or sell off parts of it. And yeah, the Nemesis system was the thing that we was talking about, because obviously Warner Brothers owns that And if they're now owned by Netflix, that means Netflix now owns the Nemesis system, which means if they're not interested in gaming, they can sell that fucker off.
Mm.
Sell it off and get rid of the fucking patent on it. Get rid of it. Whoever buys that, just fucking tear the patent up. Just go, no, we ain't, or just let it, own it and then just allow everyone to use it.
Yeah, that's so you want to use to print money anyway.
You want to use the system, you fucking crack on, you use the system, bro, and then alongside fucking EA losing the licensing rights to Star Wars, let's make a Star Wars game with the Nemesis system in it. Oh. Why not? Why the fuck
could
not?
You imagine?
Let's do something like that. Oof. Now we've got the fucking creative freedom to really make something quite fucking mega.
That would be tasty.
Of course it would. Who's not doing that? Why would you not do that? If you have the money for it, if you're a AAA developer and you're going, right, what's the next big thing that we can do? Oh, I know. Everyone's screaming for a decent Star Wars game, and everyone's screaming for the Nemesis system, which has now just become available. Let's buy that cunt and let's make a Star Wars game with that system in it. Oh,
give it to me.
What a thing to do. Sell it all off. Sell it off.
Give it to me.
What else was on the Game Awards? You had big yawns. Best community support, Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, they're still... I think they're gradually wrapping that up now.
Mm-hmm. Best mobile game, Umamusumi.
Ooh.
Pretty Derby.
I don't know. Fuck mobile gaming.
Fuck knows. Destiny Rising was up, though.
Oh, yeah. Roman.
Best VR/AR game, The Midnight Walk. We're not interested in VR. Best action game, Hades 2.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I can see that.
You can get with that.
Not my style of game, but
best action/adventure game, Hollow Knight Silksong. I'm all game for that. They beat some heavy hitters: Death Stranding 2, Ghost of Yotai, Indiana Jones, and Split Fiction.
I've not really heard much of anything on Ghost of Yotai.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's such a weird one because I know it dropped, but it's been like, personally, between like All of Our Lot and whatever else, and
well, Mark's online, platinumed it, and he said that it was extremely good, better than Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm.
I feel like it's one of those where it was just expected that it's going to be good,
yeah,
and it is good. So like, there's not really much negativity surrounding it, so therefore you don't really hear much about it. But it's also not an online game; it's not multiplayer, so you're not going to get much of the, like with Ark Raiders, where you see it every fucking 5 minutes. Oh, yeah. You're not going to get the same clips and interactions that you're going to get from a single player AAA game, especially with so much other shit going on, because Ghost of Yotai released it the same month with like 4 other games, so there was so much shit.
Wasn't it like within like 4 days or something?
Yeah, you had I can fucking scroll back onto the calendar for it. So it was October, wasn't it? Had Ghost of Yotai, you then had Battlefield 6, you then
that
had...
That was probably what I was thinking.
What else did you have? The Outer Worlds 2, Little Nightmares 3.
It's already fucking December.
This was all...
Nearly mid-December.
This was all in the space of fucking one month. The month prior to that, I'm pretty sure there was also another game that came out. I can't remember what it was, but I feel
it's
like there
quite
was
a heavy end of the year.
It was heavy, and that's what I'm saying, is that Ghost of Yotai, a very good game, but I think there was just so much shit. I think it was because you had Battlefield 6 come out literally the day after.
Yeah.
So that obviously just overwhelmed all forms of social media. But Ghost of Yotai is meant to be very, very good. You've got Little Nightmares 3 is also a game that I want to play as well, because I really like 1 and 2.
I like how, look at the popular searches. I don't know why Black Desert's on there, but
Black Desert's always fucking...
Well, it's free. That would explain why.
What else have we got? Yeah, best multiplayer game, Ark Raiders. Yeah.
I'm surprised that
went up against Battlefield 6, Elden Ring, Night Rain, Peak, and then Split Fiction. That's what that went against. Ark Raiders is big, man. It's fucking, it's
Ash,
big.
Ash did say it was going to pick up.
Yeah, yeah, he called it that it was going to be mega, and I believe that it will remain being mega. I not my cup of tea. I'm not a massive fan of Extractions. What I am a massive fan of, though, is seeing all the people cry about being killed.
Bit of PvP.
Because
in
it's
a PvP
fucking
game.
Extraction shooter. Yeah. What the fuck do you expect? That's the whole point of it. If you take away the PvP aspect from an Extraction shooter, it's not an Extraction shooter.
Yeah.
It takes away everything about it. And I can only speak of it from playing the Dark Zone in the Division, which is the genesis of Extraction shooters, in that heart pounding fucking
nice
fear and anxiety,
paranoia, a bit of anxiety
of killing people.
You can't trust your fellow man.
Yeah, getting their loot and then trying
I'm
to
friendly,
extract.
I'm friendly.
And then someone else is extracting. Like, but the fact that what you've got in Ark Raiders, where everyone sort of banding together and looking after each other, you didn't have that in the Dark Zone. That wasn't a thing. It was everyone was killing everyone. That was it. If you was at the Extraction Zone and there was someone else there, you had to fucking watch, because chances are you was about to get into a gunfight. It would always happen, and it was incredible. I loved it and I hated it at the same time. But that is the bread and butter to an Extraction shooter. It's like playing fucking COD Zombies without the zombies.
Yeah.
What am I doing then? I'm just running around a building with a gun. Like, what is the fucking point? Please get rid of the PvP. No, fuck off.
Yeah, that would drastically change the dynamic of...
Don't even add a PvE mode in. Don't add it, because it's PvP. It's PvEVP.
Yeah.
So keep it that way. Because people were calling. I think there was a fucking petition for it as well, where they wanted a PvE mode. No, don't do it. You had Fortnite that got rid of the building and had a no-build mode. Took off great. Perfect. You don't need to bow down and get rid of the PvP aspect of it. If you don't like it, don't fucking play it.
Yeah.
But that's also why free loadouts are a thing.
Yeah.
Because people are also saying they should bring in insurance that you can buy for your loadouts. Oh, number one, you've got one aspect because you've got like a little slot you can put something in and
your
it keeps
prison
it.
Prison bucket.
But also...
That's risky business, because that ends up being like, oh, I'll pay for the insurance, and then that'll be like a thing that ends
up
being a microtransaction.
Yeah,
go,
and it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's why you have a free loadout. You don't want your gear getting stolen. Get a free loadout. This is how I would play it. I would be doing free loadouts and camping by the Extraction. I'm going to kill you at the end and take your shit, and then I'm going to log back into another game with another free loadout, and I don't give a fuck if I die. That's how I'm going to play.
It's like playing DayZ and crying that you get shot in the head.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, and it sucks. It's like playing Elden Ring and complaining that the game's hard. Yeah, it's supposed to
be. I think that's one of the reasons I couldn't play that kind of game.
I'd be pissed. I'd hate it.
Because I know it'd proper sour me to be like, oh yeah, I've done really well for this amount of time, and then
I've killed you at the end.
Yeah, someone's either done me over dirty or just something fucks up.
I would hate it.
And then that'd be me putting my fist through the
I'd hate it through the
computer screen.
I'd absolutely hate it, but at the same time, I don't get on well with the gameplay loop.
Yeah.
I'm like that with Battle Royales, I've said multiple times. Once I get a win, that's it, it's completed for me.
I don't like that kind of grind.
I've done what I need to do, and it'll be the same with an Extraction shooter. If I get a load of kills and then I extract, okay, cool. Now what? I'm done. For me, that's very shallow, but that's just how I operate.
Well, it's a little bit like the Helldivers loop, that eventually you're like,
exactly that.
I've done as much as I can do, and as much as it is fun, there's not much more to it than I've got to do this much in this amount of time. I've got to get out at the end of it.
I was obsessed with it the other month. Obsessed for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Every day I was playing it. I was like, this is sick. I love this. Like, this feels so good. And then just stopped.
It's madness for your WoW grind. You're happy for all that, but...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to, like, a game that's also grindy, or, you know...
Hey, look, I did Dying Light the Beast. I grinded through that and I enjoyed it, but at the same time hated it.
Yeah, I remember.
But then The Outer Worlds 2, which I've literally just completed the other day, that was 57 hours is what I put into that. And absolutely incredible.
How many hours did I spend in the original?
Fucking loved Outer Worlds 2. That's another game. Did you enjoy the first one?
I definitely did, but I definitely had moments where I was like, this is getting repetitive, maybe.
So the second one is way, way better.
Yeah.
In terms of repetitiveness, nah, there ain't any. There really isn't. The guns are way better. The combat is fucking is way better. The characters are better. The story is better. The environment's better. Really, really fucking fun game. And the random perks that you can get, the flaws.
Did I not have this on? Seems to suggest that I didn't have this on. Maybe I got it on GOG when it first
came
out.
Maybe. Because Outer Worlds 2 is completely separate to Outer Worlds 1.
Mm.
Story is completely different. You don't need
I think I enjoyed it because it's, again, it's like it's an Obsidian game. But I think there was moments where I was just like, this is feeling maybe a little bit empty.
Yeah,
but no, I definitely played it. I think it might have been just like the ending got me as a bit like, is that kind of it?
Well, there's different endings on this one.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil anything, but I believe I have to Google it because I haven't actually looked up. But I think the ending that I got was the good ending, like the typical, like,
it's too many fucking games.
Leader ending.
Too many games and I haven't got enough time.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, because Outer Worlds 2, I put all of my time into it.
Yeah.
I was like, any game in time, I need to play Outer Worlds 2, because I really enjoy this game and I want to finish it. I think there was only maybe like three missions, like side missions that were just collectible stuff that I had left over. So I fucking did pretty much everything.
That's what does me. That's what gives me the fear, but that gives me the hesitation to pick up gaming, is picking up big games. And that's mostly what I want to play, is big games. So you go like Ragnarok.
Yeah.
You go, I want to play that. I've got it. I've been meaning to play it for however long.
Mm-hmm.
And again, wouldn't get a PlayStation, because why would I buy a PlayStation for like exclusives? Waited for it to come to PC, got it on sale or whatever, and it's just sat there because I go, I know this is a big game.
A big, big game.
And I know there's a lot of side shit.
Yeah.
And the side shit is the problem, that I've got the completionist run in my brain, which won't let me just go like, just do the main story and avoid the rest. It'll be, no, you're in an area, you need to do everything.
Well, that's exactly how I work. And with Dying Light the Beast, I didn't do any of that because I just wanted to get it done. Whereas Outer Worlds 2, I did everything and enjoyed everything. At no point did I feel like I was doing a side mission. Yeah. I was doing a slog. And one of the great things about it is, even though you've got your main story, you're free to go and explore entire zones without having to do the main story.
Yeah.
And then what you find is that throughout the main story or various missions, they'll ask you to go and do stuff and either collect certain things or go and find out certain information, liberate whatever. And you've already done it.
Mm.
And it seamlessly like goes, you've already done this, blah, blah, blah. So you're not really locked behind anything. One of the things that I really enjoyed about it wasn't necessarily the combat. The combat was probably the thing that I least, not enjoyed, but the thing that I was least bothered about. The bit that I really loved was the dialogue.
Yeah.
And the choices that you can pick. Because obviously you've got all those perks that you get to pick from. I specialised in hacking, engineering and lockpicking was my main things. And guns. But guns was less than the other three.
Yeah, I can't really remember how the first game was. I think it was very... But then that's an Obsidian thing where... Because that, Fallout New Vegas, and they're quite good with branching story, dialogue trees.
Yeah, very, very fun. I had a play style of, I was able to pickpocket a lot of, like, pickpocket people, which meant gaining access, like needing key cards to get into certain areas and shit like that. I was able to pickpocket the people to obtain that rather than having to go through the dialogue. And then I was able to open most doors and most chests and hack most terminals. And so I was able to access areas easier or quicker that you wouldn't be able to. And then with the dialogue options, there was just a wealth of things. I spent the majority of the game in dialogue, because there's so many conversations to have, but it was engaging, because it's like, right, well, if you had this skill or this bit of information, or if you had done this, then you could have gone down this route and bloody blah, blah, blah. And 9 times out of 10, I had an option that I could go with that would change the course of the conversation. And maybe it's because we play D&D more, or if I'm just getting more into those types of games where I'm getting more patient with it.
I remember you being like, I don't know if I've got the creativity and the imagination for D&D. And you go like...
And I do. I do.
You've got to trust yourself with
it. But I feel like that's why I enjoyed Outer Worlds 2 so much, because I was like, towards the end, there were some bits of dialogue where I was slightly skipping stuff, but I was reading it all before I was skipping it, because I was like, I read this quicker than you're speaking it. But that was part of the game that I really, really enjoyed, was those dialogue options where it was like, what's going to happen when I talk to this person? Do I have the necessary skills to, like, how is my character going to be able to
handle these situations?
Yeah. What am I going to be able to do? And that made it really enjoyable. Like, that's
a good sign of a good RPG. When you go, like, how I make this character makes it relevant to how I can go forward.
Yeah.
It just kind of ties into D&D, because you go, you're a barbarian. You go, you're not going to be good at speaking to people.
Yeah. So. But even like the companions. So there's 6 companions. I did all of the companion quests, every single one of them, because I was invested in their stories. But I knew that they were good, because when I was going to various different planets and doing different missions and stuff like that, I knew which companions I wanted to bring with me, because I knew what they were like as characters. So I knew how they would react with a certain dialogue and the politics on this certain planet and the situation I'd find myself in. Which for me, sort of like light bulb moment where I was like, no, I know this is a good game for me, because I'm understanding everything that's going on here.
Yeah.
I know what is happening with these characters and everything. For me, great. For people like Ash, probably not so great. You probably wouldn't enjoy it.
Well, the interesting thing, because I thought Ash used to liked Fallout, because he used to say that he really enjoyed them, but I don't know if I misconstrued it or got it wrong and thought of someone else when he was like, oh, I'm not really that big on Fallout.
No, I think Ash really likes Fallout. But then
it was like, oh, he didn't enjoy Outer Worlds. And
he just didn't like Outer Worlds.
Because
it's Fallout, but it's not Fallout at the same time. It is its own standalone. It's different. Arguably, I prefer Outer Worlds to Fallout, but it's difficult having just played them. Would I then go back to the likes of Fallout and go, no, this is fucking sick, because I've now got that, much like when you go from playing D&D to then going, all right, well, maybe I'll get invested in Baldur's Gate or vice versa. You go, now I've dipped my toes in an aspect of it. Would I really enjoy?
I think you would enjoy some of it. I think where they're a little bit older and a little bit clunkier.
Don't get me wrong, I played them. I played Fallout 3, Fallout 4, New Vegas. I've played them, even 76. So I've completed them all. It's just I was a lot younger when I did that. So I obviously have a completely different outlook and mindset when playing these games. But also the same as you, I don't want to invest the time. I've done Dying Light. Outer Worlds.
Big game scare me a little bit.
Let me recede back to World of Warcraft, which is what I'm doing. Let me go back to the comfort.
Why Dispatch was good for me, because the episodes were like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And there's only like 8 of them.
Yeah.
And it was like, I ended up getting through like 4 in a night.
Yeah.
And then I did it all on the Steam Deck. I didn't even have to go upstairs and fucking...
Yeah, which is great.
Sit down. I could just literally sit on the Steam Deck, lay on the sofa and play it. And I was proper invested. Versus, like, if I want to play God of War, if I want to play Ghost of Yotai, or if I want to play anything else, it's going to be...
It's just those comfort games.
I'm going to have to commit to this as much as I want to, but...
But it's those comfort games that are also very engaging and very fun to play. I had that with Hi-Fi Rush. Finished that on the Steam Deck.
I've said it to Ash. I said it's why Rogue Trader kind of died off for me. As much as I was playing a lot of it, I got to a point and we joked and said, because there's bits that are... full narrated dialogue, and then sometimes there's not. So you can be just like, I'm just listening, and then there's a bit where you go, it all stops, and then you have to lean forward and you have to read
the whole thing
and walls of text, and you go, I'm tired.
Yeah,
it's late in the day. I'm tired. I've had a busy one at work or a busy week, and you go, yeah. And it's also a game that's got 4,000 options. That you go, this is a bit much.
Yeah, it's just madness. It's absolute madness. That's why, you need those. It's gone are the days of having the time and the brain capacity to just crack through these big 60, 70-hour games, even 100-hour games, and just keep chogging along at them. Because you go, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's just a lot. It's a lot. There's, like I say, there's so many games. So many games. Ghost of Yotar, Little Nightmares, fucking... There's all sorts. I haven't even touched Night Rain. I won't touch Night Rain. I just know that I won't.
Night Rain's not for me.
But there's just so many games where you think, I just don't have the capacity to...
It's like I haven't played Elden Ring.
Oh, which is mad.
And then you just go like...
Which is madness.
Like, I've played the Souls games. Didn't play Bloodborne because I didn't have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I know there is massive aspects of Elden Ring that would appeal to me, but I'm just like...
It's such a big game.
I'm just like, I can't. That's too much.
It's such a big and lonely game.
Yeah.
I think that you have to be in the right mindset to be able to play Elden Ring, and I feel like you're not in that mindset.
That won't
moment.
Come to me.
You're not there right now.
That's one I'm never gonna. That would be just like I'm never gonna touch that.
Yeah, I love it. It's a beautiful game, incredible game. One of the goats, but there's
so much other stuff.
Ah, it's such a big game. It's such a big game, and for a completionist, it's even worse because you don't know what the fuck's going on. There are no quests as such. You're finding shit, which in turn makes you want to explore every aspect of it, but everything's difficult. It's not a game for the faint-hearted. I'm surprised I managed to fucking do it 6 times. I really am. 6 times I managed to do that game. Much. I don't know what the fuck happened there, but I think it's just that adrenaline. That dopamine hit of killing,
just a bit
killing
stubborn,
those bosses.
Be like, I need to do this.
Yeah, his health bar has gone down, so that means he can die. Yeah. I don't care if I'm massively outgeared for it. I can do this. Yeah, madness. All right, well, that's it. We can fuck off.
Oh, my God. Fuck off.
Cheers for listening,
Roman,
everyone.
Roman, you fucking forgot stuff in my van.
Of course he did. Squirrel boy.
Who wrote?